You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and when I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We took a little bit of a break here through the President's Day weekend. Had a few things going on there, more XFL games, more of the same we saw in the first weekend with Cardale Jones and the same stars kind of going off. So that league is kind of settling as a good separation there between the best teams in the league and the worst teams there, and that's what we saw there in week two. What we're going to focus on here going forward is the NFL, and we're going to go back to looking at teams in the offseason, kind of break those teams down. And this week, with four shows left here on this shorter week, we're going to break down the NFC East. We always start there with that division going in alphabetical order. So we'll look at the Cowboys here today on today's show. Then we'll get through the rest of the division, the New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Redskins this week. And we'll continue this here, just an off-season outlook through this time between the end of the season, Super Bowl 54, the combine, and then heading into free agency, which will start a little later this year in the middle of March. So late February is the combine, middle of March for free agency. A lot of stuff to break down there, and we know the draft is in the third week of April as usual. So a lot of stuff to break down with every team. We'll go through the teams kind of in order. We'll start with the NFC East, get through everything to the AFC West. So taking a little in-depth look at these teams, what's coming up, what we learned from their previous season, what can carry in to the 2020 season. So the Cowboys, always a good place to start. We know they're a high-profile team. You can check out my in-depth look at their free agency and draft pick outlook on Sporting News. We're going to break that down from a fantasy perspective here. So let's start with it. And the first thing I wrote on there is Dak Prescott. I mean, he's the number one free agency thing that the Cowboys have to do here. He's the highest priority, locking him up, making sure that there are no concerns with him going forward, that he's the guy and they're going to continue to be big time what the Cowboys are looking for. Now, there has been thoughts about, will they move on from him? Is there going to be a tag and trade situation? Or are they just simply not going to re-sign him? I would throw all the scenarios out the window. He's going to be back in Dallas. We actually talked to him at the Combine, Sporting News did, and he said, absolutely, I'll be in Dallas. In some form, he knows he's going to be there. Either he's going to get that big guaranteed deal for 1 year with the franchise tag, probably the exclusive tag. That puts him around $33 million, which is pretty good all guarantee for one season, and he's pretty durable. So he could gamble on himself and play through that. People are saying maybe he'll stay away from the team until he can get the long-term deal. That'll be a placeholder. That's certainly possible. But the makeup of Dak Prescott, he's been there day in, day out. He's not going to hold out in any form here, and it's really not counting as a holdout until he doesn't show up after that franchise tag deadline is passed. So he might be working on the side, doing all that, but it's very important that they reach a long-term deal or a settling on the franchise tag to make him happy with that, because they're transitioning here to a new head coach in Mike McCarthy. There are going to be some offensive wrinkles, even though they're keeping Kellen Moore as the coordinator, that they're going to have to adjust Dak Prescott to. And we know that Dak almost threw for 5,000 yards. He had his best fantasy season in terms of throwing the ball, did a little damage running. So that's why they kept calling Moore. And if you're going to keep Moore and then add McCarthy to it to oversee, get another offensive mind in there and blend their offenses in some forms, that points to them keeping Dak Prescott, of course. I mean, you don't keep a brain trust intact there with Moore. They connected really well, Moore and Prescott. There he had huge, great things to say about him, just the attention to detail, just the intensity there on the game plans and really designing ways to get big plays in the passing game. That part of it is not going to go away here, and that's a good thing about Dak, is that I think he kind of found his identity. I think they would obviously like to run the ball a little bit more and have better defense where you're not relying a lot on Dak Prescott, but it was natural. I mean, they sometimes would forget about Elliott in some parts of games, and Moore has to work on that a little bit better because in the end the balance is going to bring out a better Dak in terms of efficiency, getting the ball downfield, more scoring opportunities, working off play action and all that. So that's something to watch here as we go forward with the Cowboys and that situation. So again, we look at the Cowboys. I mean, this is the main thing they're looking at here with Dak. And what can we expect from Dak? I mean, the season he had was pretty good. He actually didn't get a Pro Bowl nod. It was a little bit crowded there in the NFC in terms of the guys that put up really strong seasons there. I think there's an argument that he easily could have gone to the Pro Bowl when you look at some of the numbers. I mean, it wasn't quite as good, however, as his rookie year in terms of, like, the actual defining stats. He actually, however, ended up at 8.2 yards per attempt. So that was a career high, 8.4 adjusted. So very similar to his rookie year there, except he had 30 touchdowns, did throw a few more interceptions with 11, 99.7 rating at 104.9 in that year. And then you throw in the rushing for Dak, he had 277 and 3. So about the same number. He had 282 and 6. So if he had the 6 rushing touchdowns that he had in his first 3 seasons, if he had added that to 2019, his season would have been pretty spectacular when you look at it overall, that he would have had 36 combined touchdowns there this season, nearly 5,000 yards. And clearly his biggest year since his rookie year, where he had 29 combined TDs there. So he's been a steady guy, not spectacular. The volume necessarily hasn't been there. His volume has increased with every year, 459 to 490 to 526 and 596 in terms of passing attempts. Again, part of the reason he didn't throw as much there in that first season is they had that bend don't break, the running game, and dominating there with Ezekiel Elliott, and they just kind of could play bend don't break defense. So that didn't allow Dak Prescott to maybe let loose a little bit, but look at the jump. I mean, he had 3667 passing yards, 3324, 3885, then the big jump to 4902. So that was nearly 1,100 yards more than his previous high. So again, I think they want to keep the aggressiveness. Part of it is not having receivers early in his career. I mean, he had to transition from Dez Bryant. Then there were a couple years where they didn't have targets that they could rely upon. But now that's changed with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup there in the mix. So we'll talk about how those guys factor in and how they can prioritize Cooper here behind Prescott here in NFL free agency in a moment. And we'll go from there. But Dak Prescott, for everything you can measure, he will remain in Dallas in some form, and I think he'll build on that success. And I think he's arrived here as a fantasy football asset, kind of like we saw with Russell Wilson early in his career. Very parallel careers in terms of not having the big numbers early, but the team, as they have deficiencies elsewhere, have to rely more on the quarterback. They paid him more, they want to lean on him more. That's exactly what happens with a lot of these quarterbacks in those bargain rookie deals. And Wilson, Prescott, there's a direct relationship there with their trajectories in this league. So we'll break down the big question mark with Cooper going forward. But first, I got to tell you, this episode of Lockdown Fantasy Football is brought to you by Blue Chew. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew is going to bring you the first chewable, the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that it works. It's prescribed online there, so it's going to be cheaper than a pharmacy, and they're going to also send it to your door in a discreet package, so there's none of that awkwardness that comes in waiting in a doctor's office or waiting at the pharmacy there. And this is the way to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed there with BlueChew.com. You can take BlueChew any time, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since it's a chewable, it can work up twice as fast as pills, so you can get ready whenever that opportunity arises. And again, guys, BlueChew, as you may know, it's not just for any guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function and enhance their performance in the bedroom. Come through the clutch with a better fall through there. And right now, you have a special offer there to get in on Blue Chew It's very easy. All you do is go to Bluechew.com, get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. All you do is pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's Bluechew, Bluechew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. So, yeah, this is a product you definitely want to look into here as an alternative to those other guys, and you'll be ready for round two once you take Blue Chew. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back to look at the other Cowboys free agent priorities, starting with Amari Cooper here in 2020. All right, let's dive deeper into Amari Cooper and the situation there. Dak Prescott, we were worried a little bit about how do they sign all these guys. Remember when Ezekiel Elliott was holding out, they actually caved and paid him first, which was a shock to many. Well, not to those who know that Jerry Jones is a pleaser and wants to pay everyone as much as he can. If there was no salary cap, we know where the Cowboys would be. They would just be spending like nuts. They would be very similar to the Yankees or Red Sox or one of those high-end market baseball teams. And but there's a limitation called the salary cap here. $75 million, however. That's a pretty good cap space where Dak Prescott and a deal isn't a problem. Neither is a deal here for Amari Cooper. But once you get past those, I mean, you're going to see a very small number left for the Cowboys that they have to be careful with their spending, where they can't really keep three high-level free agents. That means Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper are the priorities, but Byron Jones is probably out here of the mix, and I think that's a smart move anyway, because Byron Jones, as good as he is, his versatile corner cover man, started as a safety and all that. He simply is not a dominant playmaker or that classic shutdown. So $16 million there, that's not where you want to go necessarily for the Cowboys. I think you want to keep your abilities intact in your passing game. So I would think they'll make it out for Cooper. And that's also what makes a Dak Prescott long-term deal important. If they need to franchise tag Cooper, I think he's a little bit more acceptable to play on that, given it could be $16 to $18 million guaranteed over 1 year. And we know that's a good placeholder. We know the Cowboys can take care of him as well. So Prescott and Cooper, you would think if they hired McCarthy, kept Moore, that they're going to go hand in hand. You have Michael Gallup on the other side. He's not going to be nearly as effective if he's the number one receiver. He's suddenly going to get a different type of attention there. So you want Cooper and Gallup intact there. What's funny is also Randall Cobb. I mean, things kind of worked out well for him. He came on strong late in the season, a slot guy. Cole Beasley, we know, had a very strong season there for the Bills, leaving the slot spot for the Cowboys. So the Bills invested a little bit more in him. They were rewarded. The Cowboys had to pivot to Randall Cobb here to get a true slot. And what happens here? They hire Mike McCarthy, who knows Cobb well, obviously, from their Packers days. Back then, he was more a co-number one with Jordy Nelson at times for the Packers in his best days. But Cobb, we know, a little bit slowed down. A little bit more just slot-oriented now. He's not going to give you the big plays necessarily. The former Kentucky starting quarterback has found a pretty good career doing this. A little bit of a bounce back there with the Cowboys coming over from the Packers last year. So we know there's familiarity there. You want to keep that intact. I mean, you have a pretty good trio there when you think about it, with Gallup being able to stretch the field, big play maker outside. You got Cooper, good route runner, catches everything. Mostly thrown his way and runs very good routes, as I mentioned. So you want to keep everything intact. I mean, if you're going to invest in Dak Prescott, it says you have to invest in Amari Cooper, and we want Cooper there. I mean, Cooper at times was disappointing, but overall, I mean, he was much better than what we saw in Oakland. And at times, he was very good at Oakland, but I think in Dallas, he's found just a perfect home for his skill set. Good chemistry with Dak Prescott. Why would you want to break that up? That's not going to happen. I mean, there's a chance he gets the open market, but you look at his numbers over the past two seasons here in Dallas. I mean, he had 75 for 1,005 and 7 TDs in that year combined with Dallas and Oakland in 2018. You look at the year last year, 79 catches on 119 targets, 1189 and 8. So these are some pretty solid numbers, and that's just scratching the surface. I think he can do a little bit more here, especially as Gallup comes on and draws a little bit more respect from the outside. So, again, Cooper I would expect to stay, but you never know. The Cowboys could price things out. Cooper may want to look elsewhere, but to me, Cooper's best fantasy value is right where he is. I mean, you go back to his days there in Oakland. He did have a couple 1,000-yard seasons, but nothing what we saw with the efficiency there. He's a little bit better at stretching the field as well. In Dallas, got to 15.1 yards per reception there, very similar to his rookie year where he had 14.9. But his catch rate, all that has gone up, 70.1%, 66.4%, a big difference from what was happening in Oakland. Prescott getting the ball to him, the accuracy there, again, Gallup helping him free up a little bit more in coverage. So overall, I think Cooper and Cobb are going to stay there. Cobb obviously wasn't a great fantasy asset on his own there. I mean, Beasley was just scoring every week, and he became the choice there, slot receiver. So he kind of had the last laugh beating the Cowboys as well, coming over from the Bills. But you look at it, 55 catches for 828 yards and 3 TDs there for Cobb. And so, again, that's not very fantasy viable there, but it's a key to the value of Prescott, keeping these three guys intact in those very specific roles here. And you look at one good thing for Cobb, he was used a lot more. I mean, you look at week 8 against the Vikings, 6 catches, 106, 4 for 115. Follow that against the Lions late in the season. He had 5 for 73 against the Cowboys and 5 for 81 against the Redskins. So the second half was certainly better. They didn't use him enough. A part of it was getting into the offense, but now he's in the offense. Now he has an extra level here that comes into play, knowing McCarthy, but that means also good things for Prescott. So Cooper happy, Cobb happy, Prescott happy. That is going to be good things here with Moore in year two calling plays with the oversight of McCarthy. Now, where else we look here, I mean, $75 million was the cap, but that should really take out a chunk when they sign Prescott, Cooper, and then a little bit more to Cobb here. Everything else is going to be kind of a rebuild here, especially defense. I mean, Jones, simply a guy that they can't keep there at Byron Jones, that is, at corner. They're going to have to change things up there. They're switching to a potential 3-4 hybrid scheme defensively with Mike Nolan up front. So defensive end, they had Robert Quinn and Michael Bennett they were trying to rely on with DeMarcus Lawrence. Those guys are probably gone. Malik Collins is probably gone at tackle. So a lot of things that they have to replace there quickly. Jeff Heath, another guy that's free agency, likely to be unsigned. Sean Lee is the one that we're going to be watching a little bit. He did help with the defense, the production there, anchoring Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch a little bit more. They thought he was slowing down a little bit, but they needed his help on the outside, and he kind of was a good complementary player there to help them make plays. Tight end, they could use an upgrade from Jason Witten, who looks ready to move on. He's also a free agent after coming back, unretiring on that one-year deal. So there's that, what you look at here with the Cowboys. So there's going to be a lot of changes other than that, but the good news is they have the offensive line, no issues there. They need a little depth there up front, but you have Elliott, and we know, locked up under contract. You get Cooper, Cobb there. Gallup still has plenty of time left as a younger receiver, and Dak Prescott. This offense can have bigger things. It'll be more balanced and explosive. That is not mutually explosive. You run the ball more, it doesn't take away necessarily from your passing game. It just opens the opportunity to make a bigger plays there and be a little bit more efficient, and that's what you could see with Dak, and he got the ball downfield really well, and you don't want to lose that mojo here in 2020. So there's that. We'll talk in our final segment about their actual outside targets that they're looking for in free agency and the draft here, but make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On Network, whether you like the NFL, the offseason, want to keep up with all the good stuff there through all our shows, including Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson there and Brian Peacock, or you're into the NBA, second half of the season, All-Star Game is over. Check that out. NHL as well. Down the stretch, we come for those sports into the playoffs and the push there. So a lot of good stuff. Whatever sport you're listening to, whatever aspect of that sport you like, whether it's in season or out of season, we've got you covered here on the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to wrap up our look at the Cowboys outlook here for 2020 offseason. All right, let's continue. Where would the Cowboys look to upgrade here? That's what we're going to look. Definitely at safety, where you have the liability of Jeff Heath. So I have them taking Grant Delpit there in the first round of the draft in my latest mock draft there for Sporting News. I think the LSU player fits in pretty nicely with what they're trying to do with Mike Nolan. And again, I think they'll be somewhat aggressive to rebuild their defensive line a little bit more. Again, they could have 3-4, 4-3 hybrid looks here. So I think they need a stronger, beefier tackle, help them against the run a little bit more. Can also get some punch. So you could look at the traditional 3-4 nose, or you could also look at Ndamukong Suh, who's kind of played in multiple schemes here, played very well last 2 years in 3-4s there for the Rams and then the Buccaneers. Really was a linchpin against the run for them, so not a bad player. I also like Shelby Harris, the Broncos, so that's a player that you can look at. I think if they lose Sean Lee, they can get another stat sheet sufferer like Nick Kwiatkowski. He was playing a lot for Danny Trevathan, who was injured for the Bears last year, so I think he would be a seamless fit. This offense can do a lot of different things. And then tight end, Eric Ebron type, I mean, I think they'll be in the market. I don't think you're going to go after Austin Hooper or Hunter Henry, given the limited resources after you get done with Prescott and Cooper. But, again, a tight end like that could work here. Maybe a Darren Fells, that type of player, comes into the mix that can score a few touchdowns. Eric Ebron, we know what he did a couple years ago with the Colts and Andrew Luck, putting up the 13 scores there in Indianapolis. So he's going to be out on the cheap. That team's not going to re-sign him with Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox in the mix. So he's someone they can go after. So they'll be very judicious, but I think they're going to use a good chunk of the money that they have under the cap once they're done with Prescott and Cooper, and that's good for them. I think pass rusher is a possibility if they want to go there with Clowney or Chris Jones. Again, you pretty much are down to looking at three players if you go that route. I think they want to go for a little bit more quantity here. Obviously, there's some higher quality players they can have, and if they want to go the one-player route on top of Prescott and Cooper, but I think overall you need some depth, spread it around a little bit, get that tight end help, as I mentioned, that offensive line backup help where they could be feeling a void there. So I really like, again, the Cowboys' outlook here offensively for 2020. Keeping Moore was huge. Doesn't put Prescott through another system here after being in Scott Linehan and then Jason Garrett and Moore and all that. So I think this is great for him. And again, don't worry about what you hear with the Cowboys and Prescott. Things are going to get done. Cooper's going to be in the mix. This is going to be a team that is going to have a lot of weapons and a lot of fantasy football appeal. And maybe you'll even get a few more playmakers on the defensive end if you get a Delpit or a Kwiatkowski to be in the mix there for the Cowboys. So overall, I think the fantasy prospects, you'd say the arrow is pointing up all around, however you look at it, for the Cowboys here. 2020, passing, running, defense, all good, and the receivers can all bump up as well here in 2020. So there's a breakdown of our first team. We'll come back tomorrow with a look at the New York Giants there in their offseason, what's coming ahead. We know they hold a pretty high pick there, number 4 overall in the 2020 draft, so that's a good asset. And we know that Dave Gettleman can be a sneaky spender here in the first year of Joe Judge taking over the team as head coach. So we'll break that team down. Again, we'll get through the entire NFC East this week, so look forward to that. And then we'll dive into the NFC North next week. So a lot of good stuff, a lot of big question marks involving quarterbacks and all that we're going to get into in free agency. So it's going to be a lot of fun here on Locked On Fantasy Football. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.